Grace and peace to you from our victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As was mentioned, our sermon will be based on our gospel reading for this day, of which I share with you just the last portion, the event of Christ's ascension. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. My dear brothers and sisters, for some it no doubt looked like just some old stone with a bunch of scratching on it. But that relic made of basalt rock and unearthed in 1799, over 20 years after the start of the United States War for Independence, has been known as the key to history. The scratching turned out to be writings of a decree proclaimed by the Egyptian priesthoods in honor of Ptolemy V Epiphanes in his ninth year, which was in 196 BC. What was so special about this was not so much the decree itself, but even as now when signs are written in different languages, so also this decree, inscribed on what became known as the Rosetta Stone, named after the place and location it was found, opened the history of ancient Egypt. The decree was written in Egyptian hieroglyphics and Demotic scripts, as well as ancient Greek. Knowing the Greek led to the understanding of hieroglyphics and the whole history of the nation. Until that time, the history and all the writings of the Egyptians were, you might say, a closed book to historians. But now, this key opened the books and offered an understanding of the past along with some reasons for the way things were in the present day. You're probably most familiar with the term Rosetta Stone as it is currently related to a company by that name, a company which offers lessons in learning foreign languages. Just had to figure that one, huh? Why bring up the Rosetta Stone today as we consider and celebrate our Lord's ascension? As the Rosetta Stone opened the minds of those who studied the languages, so also we wish to have our minds opened, as Jesus did for his disciples. We ask this day, and we pray, Lord, open our minds. Open our minds to see you in your word, to repent of our sins, to share the blessings of your promises. 40 days had passed since Easter. During that time, Jesus made countless appearances to his disciples and all his followers, even to as many as over 500 at one time. He had been to the north, to Galilee, and had now returned to Jerusalem, where so many major events had taken place in his life. Oh, from the time aged Simeon held him in his arms and praised the Lord, to 12 years later, when he knew to be about his Father's house. There were the Passover celebrations, the miracles, the cleansing of the temple, and many other classes that were taught, the distraught mourning over Jerusalem's unbelief, and eventually his final meal with his disciples, his persecution, his death, his burial. And oh yes, his resurrection. Now, there was but one more lesson for the disciples to learn here, a lesson which he had taught them many, many times, but a lesson they just couldn't seem to grasp. So now, without parables or stories, we are told that he said this to them. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. His lesson, offered many times before, was now the Rosetta Stone for their faith. He opened their minds. Same term was the one that was used when the disciples walked with Jesus to Emmaus. Remember how their response after Jesus explained everything? He said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us?" Same term about opening our minds. He reminded them of all that God had said about his plan of salvation. And everything that God had promised, all the details, just as he had it written down was exactly how it all happened. You see, God keeps his promises. They had forgotten that to some degree, hadn't they? They saw Jesus arrested, beaten, crucified, and buried. But they'd forgotten about the third day. Had they forgotten about the resurrection? They worried about being arrested themselves. They seemingly couldn't believe the message of the empty tomb or what the women had heard and seen. They had forgotten Jesus' promise to be with them always to the very end of the age. He opened their minds to see it all as if it was the first time they had ever heard such wonderful news. Everything must be fulfilled that was written in the scriptures. While Jesus opened their minds to understand, isn't that really our prayer then today also? Lord, open our minds to see you in your word, to see your love from all eternity, to see your great humiliation on our behalf, to see our sin and be led by your Spirit to repent and be forgiven. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hear his promises, my fellow disciples. Hear the price he paid to make us his own. Hear that without any worthiness on our part, he paid for all our sins. Hear with an open mind that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophecies and all the promises of God written down for our learning. Know the blessing that is yours, that he had his love for you written down like that, every minute detail and promise fulfilled in his son Jesus, so that you and I, we don't need to have any doubts of our salvation or of his power or of his promises or of his love. Think of the promises you've just heard, even today during this service. As you confessed your sins right after the opening hymn, what was God's promise to you? You're forgiven. As you attend the Lord's Supper later after the sermon, what is God's promise to you? This is my body. This is my blood, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. As we'll close the service, won't we also hear, and the Lord give you peace? God keeps his promises. Don't let that lesson pass you by. Don't let that comfort elude you. Don't let Satan fill you with doubt or despair when God's promises are there to hold you up and fill you with confidence. Don't close your minds to God and his promises. Oh Lord, open our minds to both receive your promises and to believe in your promises. Open our minds to repent of our failures and sins, to confess them to you, to hear your forgiveness. And then please, please, open our minds, dear Lord, to serve you in your kingdom. Jesus had already told them that message of repentance and forgiveness would be preached in his name to all the nations, starting with them, right where they were. They were the eyewitnesses of the resurrection. This was no secondhand story here. No spin added to the account to tell people what they think they should think. We and you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high, Jesus said. Jesus gave them, you might call it, especially at this time of year, his graduation address. I'm leaving you physically right now, but don't ask what's next. Here is what's next. Be my witnesses. I will equip you with the power of the Holy Spirit, an event we'll celebrate next week as we remember the blessings of Pentecost. But having opened their minds to the truth and to his word, he was now going to empower them to use that knowledge in his kingdom. Lord, open our minds to serve you in your kingdom. In a little while, we'll ask him in the Lord's Prayer that his kingdom come and that his will be done. And we're a part of that. Luther explained it this way in his catechism, speaking in the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom certainly comes without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may also come to us. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life now on earth and forever in heaven. And God's good and gracious will is certainly done without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. And God's will is done when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and in the faith as long as we live. You see, Jesus wasn't telling His disciples something they weren't equipped to do. He told them what to do, how to do it, where and when to do it, and then empowered them by His Holy Spirit to go out and do the work of the kingdom. And you see, that promise of our Lord didn't change for us. Through His word, you too have been equipped to live your life for Him and for others, to share the good news of repentance and forgiveness. No special programs needed, no special gifts, just the simple power of the promises of God's word in our lives, shared confidently, lived boldly and intentionally. To many of the problems we see people experiencing, it's because they close their mind to Jesus and only open it to themselves and what they want to hear. Hear the promises. Live in those promises. Oh, Lord, open our minds to Your word and lead us to celebrate Your victory for us. We're told that when Jesus had led them out, this is the verse we read earlier, He led them out to the vicinity of Bethany near the Mount of Olives. He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. In the inspired account of our Savior's ascension into heaven, He would continue and build on the foundation as He wrote the book of Acts. But for now, Luke reports that Jesus offers what is a rare instance when Jesus offered a blessing, and then He was gone. That was Jesus' farewell, you might say. But with their minds now open to the word and promises of God, we notice there's no wailing, no crying. There's worship and joy and praising of God. As one author wrote, Jesus' ascension was not a change of location, but a change of status. He remains with all His disciples, you and me, even today. But His status is that of a victorious monarch. We hear the shouts of victory as recorded for us in Revelation chapter 5. John says, "And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels who were around the throne and around the living creatures and the elders. Their number was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. With a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' I also heard every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders bowed down and worshiped." No longer was Jesus just the carpenter's son from Nazareth, as if any good thing could come from there. No longer the one who could claim no house or home for Himself, even though animals could claim nests and holes for themselves. No longer the one who submitted to whips and beatings and crucifixion. No. This is the risen Lord and Savior of all, your risen Lord and Savior, rightfully receiving the exaltation and praise He deserves as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, completely deserving of our worship. To Him be the glory and praise, not to us. Every bit deserving of our thanks for the complete joy and forgiveness He brings to our lives. Almighty and powerful to meet our every need and our every request, sitting not in humility, but in a position of power and majesty, pleading for us, our case, on our behalf, most worthy of praise. Oh, Lord, open our minds and fill them with your love, your power, your spirit. Open our minds to overflowing in your kingdom and to all. Oh, dear Lord, like your disciples of old, may we be filled with joy, rejoice, and praise you, our victorious, living, loving Savior. To you be the glory. Amen.